Brothers and sisters, how are you all today? So let's go through our usual. Anyone new on my left side? Anybody who is here for the first time? Tell us your name and how you got to know about the group.
My name is Kenny.
Kenny. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, we have regular retreats. So the one that just passed was in October. That was Urban Retreat 9. There's one coming up. Yeah, 1st of December. Yeah, so if you are interested, you can get more information from the volunteers. Yeah. So welcome. On my right, I think today my mom went for another retreat. So early morning, text me, "Sifu, 今天要去八关斋." I said, "Oh, okay." And just now, Sean told me that he has to send his wife back because his wife was feeling a bit underwater. So the whole family is out of action. And just now, Biling told me that she's also underwater. So, today, just nice, this is how small kids are like, Happy, laugh. Not happy, cry. One moment, cry. Next moment, okay. Another moment, cry again. Then, yeah. Kids nowadays, they go through a different kind of childhood from ours. And of course, when Sifu was a kid, my parents also think that I go through a different childhood from them. Yeah. When I was a kid, their age, if we are outside and we cry, we wouldn't get the positive reinforcement. Oh, sayang, sayang. If we cry, you know what happened? My mom will look at me sternly and say, "My God, go zai kao. Stop crying. Don't cry again." And if we still cry, then she'll give us a final warning. You continue crying, you go back, you get it. Okay. Learn to stop crying. In modern psychology, that's bad. That means that you are, it can be seen as child abuse. Recently, there's this photo, I think photo or video, in the car park. This little girl kneeling on the ground and the father smacking her. Yeah. So I think a lot of netizens chime in saying that, oh, this is child abuse. If this is child abuse, then all of us, a lot of us grew up abused. In another part of the world, at another time, this is just basic discipline. This is hard life. For better or worse, in a way, when my mom told us to stop crying, we can say that as suppression of our emotions. But you can also understand it as learning to not follow our emotions. He didn't say stop feeling sad. She didn't say that. She said stop crying. Yeah, she didn't say that we cannot feel sad. Yeah, maybe she's not aware of that as well. Yeah, but that's a difference. If you feel sad, you feel sad. You can't really help it in a way. But you don't necessarily have to cry. If you're angry, if you're not enlightened, of course, you know, given the right conditions, you feel angry. But it doesn't mean that you must start throwing things around, which is what I would sometimes do when I was younger. Somehow play with the toys, play, not happy, boom, throw things. Throw here, throw there. My mom has her way to deal with that. She don't just immediately act. She'll give me warning. Don't do that. If I continue, in the case of the toys, at some point, when I throw one too many times, she throw my toys away. So eventually, I have no toys. You know those green color soldier? Play. Oh! Suddenly, I mean, I'm the only son, so I play by myself. Play, then nobody can quarrel with me. No brother to fight with. But somehow, don't know, utsu lo wala. Play. Oh, my mother said, So as a child, you don't really know what that means. Yeah, before it ever happened, you don't know that is for real. Until one day, when I throw one final time, my mom take it. No more discussion, no more scolding or anything. She just take it very coyly, no anger. Take it, walk to the kitchen, open the thing, boom, throw. Look at me. Heart love. Yeah, not easy. Recently, I happened to talk to some parents. A recurring theme is the child misbehaved. The child is not just misbehaved, but rude towards the parents to the point of hurling verbal abuse. To the point of vulgarity. Sec 1 kid, 13-year-old girl. Yeah, just maybe barely 13. Sec 1, 12 plus 13. Start vulgarity. Until I was 20 plus years old, then the word shit come out at home. Yeah. In the army, who doesn't? You know, in army, that's the language. Yeah. It's like the mantra, you know. Om and hum. The start and the closing. You must... Yeah, otherwise, sometimes the others cannot understand you. Yeah. You need to punctuate with that. But even then, never at home. Yeah, because... Not to mention using vulgarity. If you were to just show displeasure, you cannot know. My dad will really give it to you. Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah, when I was a child, there are always consequences. My parents made sure. But a lot of the couples I counsel these days, when I listen to them, you know, you cannot just go in guns blazing. Yeah. Listen to them. And then, almost a common theme is they will have that kind of look of resignation, like, oh, Sifu, you tell me, what can I do? Really lost, I don't know what to do. I try everything. You try everything? Yeah, we try everything already. So what do you try? We score them, we score. Oh, then what else besides scoring? Sometimes they just, we score them very talent, no. Then, anything else? They don't listen, give up. I think give up. Recently, there was one will have corporal punishment. But that's like going from one extreme to the other extreme. From no punishment to that one time the father helped the child and then slap. Please, for the records, I don't endorse this kind of corporal punishment. That is not corporal punishment. That is venting your frustration. Disciplining your child is different from just venting your frustration at the child. If you take your child and just slap like this, it's like you're picking on someone. You're picking a fight. Imagine if it's your colleague, can you just take your colleague and slap like that? You can't. Right? So your child, because your child is smaller, so you do this. This is not discipline. Yeah. So a lot of people tend to lump discipline, physical discipline, corporal punishment as one whole lump. And because this form is wrong, so no corporal punishment. That is wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. That's like saying, oh, because someone drink and drive, killed someone, so nobody can drive. No, there's nothing wrong with driving. You need to learn how to drive properly. You need to learn to drive responsibly. Corporal punishment done properly for kids at a certain age can get them to at least very quickly know that there are consequences. Ultimately, it's not to punish them by inflicting harm. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's to get them to feel a little bit of pain and correlate the pain with their wrong action. Because you think about it, when they shout at their parents, there are no immediate harm. But we, as adults, we know that there are future harm. By caning them, caning properly, not hold the child, king like that. That's not discipline also. That's also venting frustration. Why you don't listen to me? That's not discipline. Disciplining is letting them feel a bit of pain so that they associate their wrong behavior with the pain. You're bringing forward a bit of the pain, future harm, so that they can feel it now. The aim is not to harm them. If you want to harm them, don't use your hand, don't use your cane. Take a hammer, just, For records, I don't encourage that. But you know what I mean? If your aim is to hurt the child, just take the child and bash against the wall. Lah. But we don't do that. Why? Because the aim is not to harm the child. Yeah. That's not the aim. But many parents, then as a result, they just don't do anything. Yeah. So a common reply is, they didn't even think that there should be consequences. Yeah. So, what to do? But today's topic is when the... how come? Hello. Smitaiji. It's about sickness, and my device also falls sick. Hello. What happened? Give me a minute. Let me do a hard reset. Okay. There's some light coming up. Why did it go into a hard... into a... fast boot? So this sutra is called The Monk with Dysentery. What is dysentery? Today's topic is about the different kinds of patients, someone who is sick, not the having patient kind of patient. So in the Buddha's time, the monks also fall sick. And sometimes the sickness can be quite severe. Dysentery is basically very severe bowel imbalance or problem. Yeah. Okay, what happened? How come the SD card is missing? So, what happened? There was one time, there was a monk who fell ill due to dysentery. And so this monk was basically having bowel problems, and he was basically defecating all over himself. You may have heard of this sutta. Yeah, have you ever have lao sai? Very severe lao sai, so severe that you feeling weak from the Lao side. So severe that you feel like you have to just stay in the toilet. Yeah, when it's very serious, like if you go to countries like Myanmar in the past, now I think it's a lot better. Yeah. In the past, when you go to Myanmar, anybody who go for the first time, within 5 days, you will kena. Last time, India used to be quite bad also. But it depends on your body constituents also. So there was this monk who fell ill. He was defecating over himself. And then the Buddha heard about it, went to see him, and found that he was lying in bed filled with feces. Yeah. So let's see what happened. Yeah. So the Buddha went to see him, and then finding that he was covered, yeah, he's fouled in his own urine and excrement. Yeah. So then the Buddha, how come it's like that? Can I have the, it's right in front of you, below your, function is not available. Aspect ratio. Yes. Can? Yeah, so he went around, yeah, then with Venerable Ananda as his attendant, went to the monk's dwelling, and on arrival saw the monk lying foul in his own urine and excrement. Yeah. So can you imagine, you see a monk with shit and urine all over. Yeah. So he asked, what is your sickness, monk? The monk replied, I have dysentery, O Blessed One. Blessed One refers to the Buddha, yeah, an epithet. The monks and his disciples often refer to the Buddha as the Blessed One. So the Buddha asked, do you have an attendant? Yeah? Is there anyone taking care of you? So he replied, no, O Blessed One. Yeah, then the Buddha asked, then why don't the monks attend to you? So you see, in the Buddha's time, the monks, when they reach a certain number of years, they would sometimes have an attendant. In Chinese, we call it 侍者. Yeah, 侍者. Like the Buddha has an attendant who would be following him. An attendant is usually a close disciple or a novice. Yeah. So in this way, the novice would serve the teacher and also learn from him very closely. So it's almost like an apprenticeship. Yeah. So dual role. So when he asks, he says he don't have one. Yeah, but just because you don't have one, there should be others who are taking care of you, given that you fall sick. So he asks, so the Buddha asks, then why don't the monks attend to you? Yeah. There's this question mark. So why don't the monks attend to you? Yeah, so he replied, I don't do anything for the monks, Lord, which is why they don't attend to me. So when he was not sick, he don't do anything in service to others. He just do everything by himself. So if you think about it, in today's Buddhist community, we sometimes think that, okay, what? Isn't this what the Buddha taught? I just kiki ku kiki, yeah. I just take care of myself. Your, all this none of my business. I don't have to care, yeah. But if you look at all the Nikaya teachings, the Buddha don't encourage this kind of behavior. But in any case, the Buddha then asked Venerable Ananda, go fetch some water, Ananda. We will wash this monk. The Buddha himself come and wash him. Not easy. Not even his lao pei. As you say, Lord, Venerable Ananda replied, and he fetched some water. Then one sprinkled water on the monk, and Venerable Ananda washed him off. So basically helped clean his whole body. Then, with the Blessed One taking the monk by the head, and Venerable Ananda taking him by the feet, they lifted him up and placed him on a bed. Yeah. So you can imagine, before that, maybe he was like collapsed on the floor and basically sprawled with ropes, his ropes covered with, you know, shit and urine and everything. So the Buddha basically cleaned him, bathed him, and then lifted him up. Yeah, so because of this, then the Buddha asked the whole Sangha to come around. Yeah. Then the Blessed One from this course, because of this event, had a monk's assembled and asked them, "Is there a sick monk in that dwelling over there?" "Yes, Blessed One, there is." See, all of them know though. Yeah. We'll discuss this. This is very interesting. They all know, no? And what is his sickness? He has dysentery, O Blessed One. They even know that he has this sickness. But does he have an attendant? No, Blessed One. See, we learn from the Buddha. Yeah? Don't assume first. Ask. Line by line, ask. Yeah? Don't assume that they are like this or like that. Ask. Then after that, then why don't the monks attend to him? Yeah? So make sure that he really have no attendant. You see, although the Buddha already asked the monk, the monk already said he has no attendant. The Buddha don't assume that that's the case. Still ask the other monks. Maybe you're sick, but nobody knows. Cannot assume. Yeah, so ask. Oh, so all of you know that there's a sick monk. All of you know that he has dysentery. So, does he have an attendant? Yeah. So it is very interesting, you know. The Buddha, in fact, he don't have to ask the monk. He has psychic power. He still asks. After asking, he still asks again. For today's context, people will say, "Well, see, lo so, meng liao. How many times you want to ask us? You want to grill us? What the Buddha do is what the Buddha do. So, let you say for yourself, yes or no? No, Blessed One. Then he give the, come to the point. Then why don't the monks attend to him? And what the answer is? He doesn't do anything for the monks, Lord, which is why they don't attend to him. So they're very honest, no? This is what we see in many of the suttas. The monks are very interesting. They do something that is like, most people are like, "Wala, si pai si le la meng." Yeah? But they do, they say. Yeah? Gan zuo gan dang. Yeah, they will actually admit to it. So, so this is the part I have shared in many novice retreats, about this sutta. So this part, the Buddha make a statement: "Monks, you have no mother, you have no father who might tend to you. If you don't tend to one another, who then will tend to you? Whoever would tend to me should tend to the sick." This is the Buddha's teaching to them. Yeah. So, when I was helping out to conduct some novice retreats, I would share with them this sutta about how, even though for them, they are ordained only short term, but in that short term, they are real monks. And so, during that period, you know, human beings are, even though going for a retreat, sometimes we continue to bring our mindset. So in the midst of the retreat, cocky lie, then, you know, you see the incident that happened was we went to Cameron Highlands. Yeah, not Genting Highland. Cameron Highlands. So we went to the monastery. When we arrived, then they had their meal. And those who arrived first, there were those who helped to do the serving. And those who arrived first, they just helped themselves and finished almost everything. Yeah. So those who are doing serving, bo tang jia. So after I give them a scolding, I told them, those who go first, it is your duty that you should not just take as much as you want, you know. Yeah, you must consider, how about those who help to do serving? How about those who have not eaten? Yeah, if you don't care for each other, who is going to care for you? Yeah, so that I told them this sutta. Mm. But the sutta didn't just end here. Mm. The Buddha go on quite a bit. About how for monks and nuns, we have our preceptor. Yeah, a preceptor is someone let me just increase this so that you can see clearly. A preceptor is someone who administer the precept to you, transmit the precept to you. So in the case of the monastic, then it is where if you, at the point where you take up your precepts, you have to look for someone to be your preceptor. Yeah. So that person is the one who will ordain you and transmit the precepts to you. So what about this person? If one's preceptor is present, the preceptor should tend to one as long as life lasts and should stay until one's recovery. So you look at this, 当师父不容易, your tote, yeah, your student, your disciple, if sick, you have to attend to the student, you know. Yeah. So the relationship is not like the relationship of a teacher-student today. Yeah. In the past, it's like a father. Yeah, a father figure. You have to take care of the student. Yeah. If one's teacher is present, the teacher should tend to one as long as life lasts and should stay until one's recovery. Mm. So what's the difference between preceptor and teacher? So a preceptor is the person who transmits the precepts. The teacher is, in the Pali term, is acharya. Yeah. Preceptor is upadaya. One transmits the precept, the other one is the person who is guiding you like a mentor. So usually there are these two persons. Sometimes the same person play both roles. Yeah. Sometimes play both roles. So because the person who is transmitting precepts maybe is very senior, and maybe there are a lot of disciples. So maybe for the novice monk, you'll get another monk who is also more senior, but to guide the novice monk. Yeah. So the one who is guiding will be called the acharya, the teacher. Yeah. So if one student is present, the student should tend to one as long as life lasts and should stay until one's recovery. Oh, so this is about this part here. Preceptor or teacher to student. And this part here, is student to preceptor and teacher. If one student is present, the student should tend to one as long as life lasts. As long as life lasts, as long as life lasts. And should stay until one's recovery. Sifu, Pope, you all know what to do, all pay attention this part. Next week, nobody turn up. All zao. High expectation. So if one's apprentice is present, the apprentice should tend to one as long as life lasts, and should stay until one's recovery. Yeah. So this one is student, one's apprentice, is the different relationship between the preceptor, teacher, and the student. Yeah. So but again, in today's context, if your secondary school teacher is sick, do you go and tend to them? Nowadays, no. Nowadays, Miss Tan, Mr. Lee, how are you? I heard you are sick. Oh, not bad already. Not bad. Yeah, but so far, the students not bad. I rubbed my eyes one too many times the following week. Sifu, can I offer this to you? Wow, zikuan zikuan. Wash the eye la, wash the eyelid la, you know, cup here, cup there. Then. Yeah. Or if I like that a bit, then next week, goyuk, salon pass la. Not bad, not bad. Yeah, then you see, got the ding tang xue li. Then have the Evian water la. Then once a month, we have the lunch gathering. Then you all prepare all the different food and fruits, drinks. This is how teacher and student care for one another. Yeah. Not just about caring about what we usually think of, but even to the person's well-being. If one who is a fellow student of one's preceptor is present, the fellow student of one's preceptor should tend to one as long as life lasts, and should stay until one's recovery. If one who is a fellow apprentice of one's teacher is present, the fellow apprentice of one's teacher should tend to one as long as life lasts, and should stay until one's recovery. Yeah, so this part up to here. This part is fellow student and apprentice. So, yeah. This is part of the reason why Shifu, since about maybe 3-4 years back, in fact, even before SGC, whenever I have those classes that is like 10 weeks, in the past, we don't have regular lunch. So for those series of classes, in the middle of it, I would usually arrange a lunch. Yeah. Not that I want to get a free lunch. Yeah, but it's for the students to get to know each other beyond the classroom. To learn to associate with one another. Yeah, to care for one another. So, third category, among fellow student, fellow apprentice. So, last category, if no preceptor, teacher, student, apprentice, fellow student of one's preceptor or fellow apprentice of one's teacher is present. Oh, so how? The Sangha should tend to one. So the community as a whole, if there's one monk who is from somewhere else, nobody know. don't know whose disciple, but fellow within the community, then should tend to that person. Yeah. If it does not, all the monks in that community incur an offense of wrongdoing. Whoa. Serious, huh? So this is the third category, the fourth category. The Sangha. To tend to. Yeah, so like for example, some of us have been attending together, so you know each other. Then today, what's your name again?
Kenny.
Kenny come in. So we should not think, who is this guy? Then don't care. Before Sifu even start the class, before Sifu even ask, hello, tell us your name. Don't wait until he come blood, then you go and tend to him. right? What should we do? We can approach the newcomer, but don't give people too much pressure also. just knock your head, gao liao. Yeah, or say hello. Welcome, welcome. Like let's say, imagine Siu Ming is someone new. Then she come in, then we, look at her. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome. Yeah, of course, this is directly applying to the monks. Yeah, so there are such a rule. Yeah, if there's someone sick in the community and everybody, you know, the tendency is, in psychology, it is called the pedestrian syndrome. Yeah, where because actually it's called the bystander syndrome, where when something happens, if nobody went attend to it, everybody just assume that it's okay not to attend to it. So the Buddha speak up against that. Yeah. In fact, I think most of y'all, if someone sat here or after class, you go down, you see someone sprawled on the floor, foaming, would you like take a look? Hey, not SGC one. It's okay. I don't think you will do that, right? Yeah. We shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't. Yeah. But if you think about it, in this sutta, on one hand, you have this monk who do not serve anybody. Yeah. So you can imagine how this person, this monk, would have lived his life. Yeah. When he was okay, he basically do not help anyone in any ways. Yeah. In a way, we can say that despite that, others should still tend to him when he's sick. But sometimes it's the, you know, human ma, 将心比心. If there's one person who just throughout the whole year, all the time, you know, cocky, 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 yeah, then you're less inclined. Yeah, less inclined. That's why the Buddha had to give this teaching, that even if you feel that way, don't follow your feeling. If everybody just follow their feeling, I don't feel like it, I don't feel like doing, I don't feel like helping, then nobody help. Then the person lie on the floor with the shit and the urine. Second, the other thing is that if you think about it, this is the Buddha's time. We tend to think that monks and nuns in the Buddha's time, they are so pure, they almost emit light. They probably float in the air. Or as one devotee asked over lunch, so, after all these years, what have you learned? Can you walk on the water? I'm like, walk on water? Who cares about walking on water, you know? You want to walk on water? For what? To go to another island? Just go to the ferry terminal, you know, not too expensive. Pay $10-$12, you can have a bun boat and go to Kusu Island. You want to go somewhere further, maybe Batam, maybe $50 or $40 over. Yeah. So this sutta still have more. So over here, a sick person is endowed with five qualities. Yeah. So here, these two paragraphs, the Buddha go through similar qualities. The first one is someone who is hard to tend to. The second one is someone who is easy to tend to. Yeah, both are sick. Mm. So, meaning, if you are not feeling well, how can you make yourself easy for others to take care of you? Mm. This is sutta is good for nurses. Nurses and doctors, those in the medical field. Yeah, there was once KTPH, is it Kutepak? KTPH hospital. They invited us to go over there to do some briefing. So they invited me, and then they actually did a video recording as part of their training for their nurses. Yeah. But in that particular case, I didn't actually share this part. It was to highlight to them anything to be careful as far as religious matters are concerned. Yeah, so they invited Buddhist monk, the Christian priest, and then I think the Taoist priest, the Hindu, Sami, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So anyway, five qualities. What is the five? The first one. He does what is not amenable to his cure. Mm. Ah. So you are having fever. Yeah, let's say you are feverish. When you're having fever, what must you not do? When you're having fever, shouldn't eat durian. Then you tau-tau go and eat durian. Hey, Sufu, this durian season, wow, the durian very good. I thought you are already having fever. Yeah, I know, bopian. Yeah. Or let's say some people, they are having ulcer in the mouth. Then bopian, I have to still eat durian. So in this case, then you are hard to tend to. The nurse want to help you, you don't want to help yourself. So he does not know the proper amount. Amenable to his cure. Yeah, so durian cannot eat. Certain things you can eat, but you must eat in moderation. Yeah, certain things you cannot eat, certain things you can eat, but should eat in proper amount. But you don't take in proper amount. You can still eat a bit of food, but you eat a lot, or you eat too little. You're having diarrhea, so you shouldn't eat so much anymore. Yeah. So, but you still need to eat a bit, but you don't care. I usually take more than this. Huh? Why don't you let me eat? I must eat. Oh. Wow, then jialat. The next one. This is he does not take his medicine. Mm. So this is even more obvious. Yeah, the doctor, the nurse tell you, okay, Tan Lai Huat, okay, don't worry. You go back every day, take these three medicine. The first type, take three times a day, once before every meal. Yeah. Or second type, take once a day in the morning. Third type, take once a day at night before you sleep. Mm. Then when he go back, he chuck the medicine in the fridge, and then the family members come. So, what did doctor say? Oh, doctor say, okay, can recover. Oh, so where are the medicine? In the fridge. Have you taken? No. Why don't you take? The one. Oh, jialat. Mm. So can he recover? Hard to recover, huh? Next, he does not tell his symptoms as they are present to the nurse, desiring his welfare. Yeah, saying that they are worse when they are worse, improving when they are improving, or remaining the same when they are remaining the same. Mm. So this is one whole chunk. Basically, when the nurse, or can be a doctor, asks you, how is your blister? Is it getting better? Getting better, you don't say better. Getting worse, don't say worse. the same, don't say the same. You just anyhow give. Sometimes, for whatever reasons, I'm not saying that the person purposely. Sometimes, out of fear, the person are just not able to communicate the correct condition. Sometimes, some people, they don't feel comfortable to share the problem they are facing. So then it's very difficult. In the case of physical condition, when you see a doctor, will you do that? Or stomach pain, then you go and see the doctor. The doctor asks you, KS, how are you? What's wrong with you today? Then you tell the doctor, nothing wrong, everything okay. Okay, let's try that again. How about your head? Is your head painful? No, not painful. Okay, how about your throat? Throat okay? Throat okay. Your mouth, any more ulcer? No ulcer. Oh, how about your chest? Any pain? No. Well, then ask the whole body okay? Then why are we here? Or maybe it's the stomach pain. Then you go and tell the person, I got mouth headache. Yeah. Then can you recover? Cannot. And he's not the type who can endure bodily feelings that are painful, fierce, sharp, wrecking, repellent, disagreeable, life-threatening. So on top 1, 2, 3, and then 4, number 5 is a bit of discomfort. Cannot take it. Okay, KS, come, I give you a jab. Don't worry, it's going to be over soon. I have to give a jab, I don't want to. Give you the medicine, then I take the medicine. Have you ever taken medicine that's so disgusting you spit it out? You ever? Yeah. When I was in P3, I went for a major op on my leg. General anesthesia, wake up the next morning with the leg full cement cast, the plaster cast. So the nurse came to give me a medicine. I can't remember what the purpose is. One mouth. Then the nurse looked at me and then told me, this is very expensive. You're wasting my parents' money. Now I have to give you another dose. If a patient cannot endure a bit, then hard to recover also. A little bit cannot, a little bit cannot. Then difficult to tend to. Hard for people to take care of you. And this is not just with respect to nurses. If you are sick at home, it's actually the same thing. It's the same thing. So the opposite, the next section, I won't go into in detail, is the opposite. Someone who is the opposite of the first paragraph makes it easy for people to take care of us. So whatever is amenable, that means whatever you do, you must do what, if you can do what can help you recover, then of course easy to take care of you. You know what you should eat and the amount that you should be taking. Given medicine, you'll take. When the doctor asks you your symptom, you describe as it is. Leg pain, head pain, stomach pain, heartache, whatever ache. You say exactly. 3 cm from the third rib bone to the left. Exactly. You can at least to your best ability describe it. So that way, whoever is taking care of you knows that, okay, now that you have improved, the dosage can be changed. Now that you have improved to this point, now you can be given solid food and so on. And then the next is when we are sick, of course, sometimes there's some physical discomfort. Sometimes it's the treatment, sometimes it's the sickness. If you cannot endure the sickness, cannot endure the discomfort, then what happened? Maybe we vent it on the caregiver. Then the caregiver let you abuse, aya, so so ke, look up your life. Then hard to take care. Yeah, hard to take care. Yeah. So this is this. Now, how about the nurse? Nurse have five qualities or so. So similarly, here a nurse end up with five qualities, is fit, is not fit, and is fit. Yeah. So let's look at the not fit. So it's actually, in a way, in some ways, linked, but not totally. Huh? So first of all, maybe we look at the positive one. Don't always look at the negative one. So what makes a nurse who is fit to tend to the sick? First of all, he's competent. Competent to mixing medicine. Yeah. So that means he's skilled in this, he's knowledgeable, yeah, on the treatment itself. And he knows, okay, for this patient, what is suitable, what is not suitable. If you do this, you take that, then it will help you to recover. If you do this, you take that, it will cause you to fall sick, to become worse. Then, what happened? Take away things that are unamenable. Bring things that are amenable. So this is the duty of the nurse. Yeah. Whatever is good for you for recovery, bring it over. Not good for recovery, take it away. Yeah. Friends sometimes hard to do this. Your friend have ulcer, your friend want to go and eat durian. Huh? How? If you are a good friend, then cannot. But if you are a good caregiver, you give up your own durian. You say, no, today I don't feel like eating durian. Yeah? Or maybe you tell the truth, I feel like eating durian, yes. But for your sake, we will not eat durian. We will go and eat mangosteen. Oh, then you, yes, since more. But as a good caregiver, in fact, as a good friend, you must do that. Yeah. Or let's say your friend like to eat a lot. Even though your friend is like need to cut down, if you give your friend food, your friend will be very happy, you know. Yeah. You just tell your friend you're gonna bring food. Oh, your friend's eyes is like the Japanese anime. That sparkle, you know. Yeah. And so full of joy. Yeah. Before you even bring the food. But if you know what is good for your friend, you should not continually just feed the desire to have food. But even for such a friend, if you know that your friend likes to eat a lot of food, but at that point shouldn't be eating anymore, then if you tell your friend, don't eat so much, will your friend be happy? Depends on whether your friend is a good patient or a bad patient. Yeah. But as a good friend, difficult lah. I must say difficult lah. I don't dare to recommend for you all to follow Buddha's advice. Not that I'm saying Buddha's advice is wrong. I'm saying it's correct. But I don't dare to recommend. Yeah, because most people want to be good friend. Or rather want to be nice friend, not necessarily good friend. So, a good caregiver, the nurse, he is motivated by thoughts of goodwill, not by material gain. Of course, as friends, we are not naturally motivated by material gain. But maybe we are not motivated by material gain. But we are motivated by our feelings. If I don't give my friend what my friend wants, then my friend will be upset with me. My friend maybe not happy with me, give me a stern look. Then I also don't feel good. The friend also don't feel good. Then what for? But if you want to be a good caregiver, you must encompass your friend with goodwill. Don't care about the material gain or your feelings lah, your emotions lah, yeah, emo lah, and then also this one. Gam jing I don't know how to write kamjing in English. Yeah. What is kamjing? Huh? Actually, English, different languages, sometimes they have different concept about the same thing. Yeah. So, kanjing in English, what is the closest? Huh? Feelings. Because kanjing actually includes the relationship. So better to write kanjing, then you all go and figure out yourself. Yeah. So to take care of someone, not just what you think, not just knowing the medicine, yeah, but he does not get disgusted at cleaning up excrement, urine, saliva, or vomit. Wow, this is difficult. Yeah. People who are sick, they throw up, yeah. They eat medicine, they throw up, they eat food, they throw up, then they shit. Yeah. Then there's the blood come out, the ooze, the pus come out. Yeah. Ah. The first time I visited a liver cancer patient, oh, I really had a shock, though. You know the description of hungry ghost? Yeah, very similar. The stomach bloated very hard, and the whole complexion is like green, no? Yeah, I mean, no joke about that. But when I first entered the ward, I saw, wow, I was quite taken aback, honestly. Yeah, I was like, wow. Not everybody can take it. When we went for counseling training long time ago, they told us the different categories. And then they told us that they will assess us, and then they will allocate us accordingly, because they said not everybody is suitable to tend and counsel those who are sick. I only receive a terminally ill patient for my case at my third or fourth case, then they assign a sick patient to me. Yeah, that young man, he was mid-20s, but he looks very undernourished. But it's not that his family ill-treat him. He had skin condition. Yeah. Not eczema, this kind of thing though. It's very severe skin condition. He cannot be in touch with UV light. So the moment he walk out under the sun, he will feel like he's being burned. Yeah. And it's not just a feeling. He will start to have sore and rashes and very jialat. Yeah, so even at home, he wear long sleeve and cover up. If he go out, sometimes he have to go out for appointment to do checkup. He will have to wear a hat. The parents have to shelter him with umbrella. He wear like a mask, wear the scarf, wear long sleeve, wear glove, everything. No. And because of I think that condition plus others, his body is very what you call that? Like he was just a few years younger than me. But his whole bodily stature is much like shriveled. The muscle is all like underdeveloped. Not easy. Yeah. So, if you are very repulsed, not the kind of I don't like, but you just cannot take it, then you cannot, you are not able to tend to the sick. So this is one of the quality. And then the last one, he is competent at instructing, urging, rousing, and encouraging the sick person at the proper occasions with a talk on Dharma. Wow, Buddha's standard is quite high. Yeah, must give Dharma talk one. Yeah. In many suttas, those who are sick will actually request for one of the monks to and give teachings. Yeah. So If you look at these two set, one being the patient, yeah, a sick person, the other one being the person who is the nurse. So just now we look at the nurse with five qualities that makes the person fit to tend to the sick. The opposite would be someone who is not fit. If a person is incompetent at mixing medicine, that means he doesn't know what are the kind of medicine, yeah, that to come to mix together, to compound together, to become a cure. Yeah, he doesn't know what is suitable, what is amenable, yeah, for the person so that the person can be cured. Yeah, what is amenable, what is not amenable, and from there, he does not bring things that make it amenable for cure. He does not remove that which is not amenable for cure. Yeah, he is motivated by material gain, not by thoughts of ill will. Actually, just want to gain something from the whole process, not really caring for the patient. He gets disgusted at cleaning up excrement, urine, saliva, or vomit. So that's number four. Number five, incompetent at urging, rousing, instructing, encouraging the sick person with, at the right, at the proper occasion, with a Dharma talk. Such a person is not suitable. They are not fit to tend to the sick. Of course, we can say that this is the context within the Sangha. Yeah? Because if you go to hospital, can you, when your parents go to hospital, you yourself go to hospital, are you going to ask, can I just ask, are you well versed in the Dharma? How about your nurse? I need Dharma talk once, at least once a day, huh? Yeah. So Monday to Friday, can you give Dharma talk in the evening? Yeah. Usually Sunday 1 PM I have SGC, so I cannot go when I'm here, so can you please get someone to come and give Dharma talk? Cannot, huh? Now, in this sutta, it is about the sick and the caregiver. I recall that in another sutta, there was a parallel. Yeah. Now, if we were to draw a parallel here, a sick person can be considered someone who is trying to learn Dharma. Someone who is sick. The Buddha has, at many occasions, drawn the parallel that a sick person is like is analogous to the person who is sick with defilements, needing cure. So the Buddha described himself as the great teacher, as the doctor. So there's this analogy. Now if we use this analogy as a basis, then a sick person will refer to someone, yeah? Will refer to who? We refer to someone with defilements. Person with defilements. Or someone, some student. Whoever is a student of the Dharma can be considered to be analogous to the sick person. So, endowed with five qualities is hard to tend. What does it mean to be easy or hard to tend to? So what is tending to in the analogy? It will be, the Buddha said, Buddha is the doctor, the sentient beings are the sick person, the Sangha is the nurse. Yeah. So the Sangha tending to the sick is the Sangha teaching the Dharma to the sick, guiding the sentient beings. Yeah. Guiding people how to practice, must do this, must not do that. So similarly, if you are a person with five qualities, then you are easy to teach. Easy to teach. So he does what is amenable. to your cure. In this case, cure means to become enlightened, to be free of defilements. Yeah? So you will do what is suitable that can help you become free of defilements. Yeah? Shifu instruct you, do this, you do this. Shifu instruct you, don't do that, you don't do that. Yeah? You do accordingly. Yeah? So certain things, you should know the proper amount in things amenable to your cure. So Shifu say, observe precepts, practice meditation, attend Dharma class. You do this, but you decide yourself, no, I want to do more. Yeah. Precepts, just 5. Why should I only observe 5? I want to observe 300. Sifu never say that you have to observe 8 precepts every day. No, I want to observe 8 precepts every day. Nothing wrong lah, but you know, maybe can make some things a bit complicated. Or let's say you say you want to observe, let's say you want to meditate, then at a certain time maybe Sifu says, do meditation, then you do. But at some point, maybe you shouldn't be meditating so much. Don't be surprised, because if you're not ready, mentally, physically not ready, you can push. You can sit there. 5 hours, 10 hours, no problem. But if you're not at that stage yet, you do that, one day, no problem. 2 days, no problem. A few more days, you fall sick. Just happened. You are a knight. Just happened. Yeah, someone. There was someone. Because during the retreat, some say that, wow, quite xiong. Some say that, oh, very good, very quiet. But you will notice that hour by hour, we have 15 minutes walking, half an hour sitting, then 15 minutes walking. Then 45 minutes sitting, then 15 minutes walking. And sometimes I will throw in a 1 hour sitting. Yeah. But I never put in 1 hour and 1 hour and 1 hour. Now because I know none of them is ready for that. But there was someone who feel that too short, should have longer, should have more. So at some point, don't know, 4th day or 5th day, I decided, you keep on, you know. Okay lah, then if you all feel that you are ready for it, go ahead. I think it was just 1 day. The next day, I mean, I say this, I don't delight in seeing those who attend the retreat or my students fall sick. I don't delight in this. I don't say, kalau kong lah, I'll be good lah. No, I don't feel that way, no. But I feel like, some people may feel, then Shifu, why do you still let them? Can't be helped. Sometimes you need to let people try themselves, then they know. Yeah, then they know. Yeah. So you must know that even when you do things that is amenable towards your cultivation, you must be at the proper amount. Yeah. But not everybody is like that. There are some people, the proper amount is too low. Yeah. So some people, Shifu, really have to sit at least 15, 20 minutes or half an hour, man. Can I just do 1 second meditation? Cannot, you do every second the whole day, lo. You do 1 second every day, lo. Yeah, as in the whole day, every moment 1 second, can. So he takes his medicine. Sifu will tell you, okay, at least every day you must meditate a bit. It's just like the doctor, the nurse tell you, take medicine. Then, you see, just like nurses cannot force you. Yeah, in a hospital, can you force a patient? I think if it's life critical, maybe just give a drip. But usually you don't force the patient also. Yeah, you don't force. Especially for cultivation, how to force? Yeah. So you just tell. But here it's talking about the sick person. If a sick person don't take medicine, can the sick person recover? Cannot. Sifu say, every week do at least 5 hours of practices, then does the sick person do 5 hours of practices? Do one leh? Then, bo bian. Some, oh, Sifu say 5 hours, okay, I will do 5 hours. So if you find yourself, Sifu says do practices, it's not about, how do I put it? You must always remember, it's not about you following you, it's not about you listening to Sifu, no. Yeah. But it's about that. This advice comes from past experiences that is not just from Sifu, but from the whole lineage. So if you don't follow, it's okay. But then, what is the outcome? What is the outcome? Sometimes we have to be careful, no? Yeah, because at this juncture, actually, a lot of this is about ego. Why must I listen to you? I shared in the other class my own 丑事. You must pay attention. Because I learned from my own very bad example. I mentioned in the ITBW class, Tuesday. In other classes, I've mentioned in brief. I'll tell you all a bit more detail of this. Year 2, CE203, Control and Instrumentation. Dr. Clement Chia, for this series of class in particular, class, I just bosim tak. When I trace back, when I reflected, you know, after I failed, then I had a long time to reflect. Then I reflected, and you know what I realized? I realized that even before I know him, I encountered him. Encountered in what way? I had some friends around me who attended his tutorial or his lecture in year one and had bad impression, or just beisong, don't know what. You know, maybe sometimes during tutorial, maybe he's a bit more direct, then take it too personally, then after that, what happened? Just as I recall, it was because one or two friends passed some comments. Because of those comments, it colored how I look at him. Because when I think about it, year one, I never had any tutorial under him. I don't know him as a person. There was zero basis for me to not like him. But just because this person said this, that person said that, then colored my impression. When I attended his class in year two, both seemed like I was sitting behind, joking, then then, and whatever he said to describe root locus, the calculation of the K value, whatever, in my mind, I was just picking, like that. Ooh. Not that I know anything about control instrumentation, you know. In the end, what is the result? Fail. So for 2 months, for about 1 month, several weeks, I was like mulling over it, like what went wrong? So I thought about it. And I realized that, now I tell you this, not blaming my friends. I in no way blame my friends for saying what they say. Friends, people can say whatever they want to say. It's up to us how we want to listen. You must know that even if, let's say, that teacher is lousy, but if you allow yourself to be colored by it, then even the lousy things that the person can teach, you also discount that, you know. And that's why I've been sharing in university this simple matrix. The teacher, versus the student. Maybe some teachers are good, and they can teach 80% of what needs to be taught. Maybe some teachers are really lousy. Yeah, they don't know how to explain, they tell stupid jokes. Yeah, I have ever encountered lecturers. First year, when they teach, they just go through a slide very quickly. And when they reach that line, they'll tell a joke, laugh, and then flip over. They laugh themselves, everybody said, what was she laughing at? Really, I've encountered such lectures. Really? Yeah. So maybe we can say that some lecturers really bad with the art of teaching. You know, art of delivery failed. Content poor. So maybe, let's say, only teach you 60% of what needs to be taught. Now, as a student, a good student may be able to absorb maybe 80% of what has been taught. A bad student maybe, likewise, to make things simple, 60%. So, what happened? Yes, very good. Pass your maths. So, good teacher, good student meet with a good teacher, without additional effort, you get 64% of what needs to be acquired. Good student meet with a poor teacher, 48%. Bad student meet with bad teacher, a good teacher, 48%. Bad student meet with bad teacher, 36%. Why do I assume this? I assume this because no matter how bad the teacher is, the words, when it come out, everybody receive it equally. But it's affected by how willing you are to listen to what has been taught. Do we pay attention, or do we check our handphone? Do we do this, do that? Do we stare blankly at the screen but not pay attention? Yeah. Do we take notes so that we can revise? Then that can change this number also. But all things being equal, a bad student meeting a bad teacher is the worst case. This is the case you really want to avoid. And I'm telling you this from my own experience. I was the bad student for that subject in year 2 in NTU. This is me. Bad student. Now, how about Dr. Clement Chia? Was he a good teacher or a bad teacher? You see, the funny thing is that when I was in year 2, my impression of him was he was a bad teacher. So, in actual fact, year 3, when I repeated that same subject, CE203, see, paiseh leh. All my juniors, yeah, somehow I have a reputation to keep up, you know, I'm super good at labs programming. But in the end, two subjects, now I have to, you know, paiseh. But at that point in time, I changed my mind. Bo paiseh. I sat first row. Look at him. And you know what happened? First year, the first time I attended his class, year 2, I felt that he was a bad teacher. The consequence is this. Second year, I feel that when I attend his class, I was filled with amazement. I was like, what was wrong with him again? Yeah. Maybe it's because I was sitting front row. Maybe it was because I have changed my mindset. I've cleared my wrong impression of him. Or rather, I was willing to attend his class as it is. I ignored whatever impression I had. I mean, the fact is I just failed his module. But I decided to go in fresh. Don't care about whatever happened. Just listen to what he has to say. And I realized that, no, I think he did deliver everything that he's supposed to deliver. I would say that I would give him even a high 90. Yeah. So I managed to learn a lot more. Maybe not at 80 or so. Maybe I absorbed only 70. 890 times 70, 63. And even then, I still struggled. Oh. Because root locus is crazy. Ah. And then inside there's the, I think that's where the Laplace transform and all those things come in. Signal, frequency, domain, all the crazy things start to come in. So I even had, for the second time I take that subject, I even go to back one of my senior who was from mechanical production engineering to ask him to explain to him, root locus, what is this about? Our attitude. Yeah, our attitude. Mm. So, do we take the medicine according to what the teacher has advised? Up to us. Yeah, if you have, here I'm talking more about our mindset. If our mindset is, we have some prejudice against the teacher, against the caregiver, then whatever medicine the person gave, we have doubts, we don't want to take. I have ever encountered an actual case, not analogy. The person has a bit of neurosis. So even the parents want to give him medicine, she feels like, this poison. I know, you all want to poison me. Chela, cannot. So he tells his symptoms as they actually are. That's why sometimes when you all tell Sifu how your practice is, you all may feel like, yeah, this Sifu not encouraging one. I tell him, wow, accomplishment I have. Then Sifu always say, when was this? Then bo pian ma, then I have to say lo, then. But don't want to say ma. Because that experience is so good ma. But Sifu always say, so when was this? Is it recently? Is it now? Is it consistent? Is it every sitting? Usually it's not. Then if it's not, then Sifu will say, what will Sifu say? Then don't worry too much about it. Just continue your practice. Yeah. And then feel, oh yeah, so disheartened. When we do consultation, it's very important to describe exactly what is happening at that during that period, so that the correct remedy or changes to the practice can be administered. Otherwise, if you are actually improving, then you are very humble. Yeah? Improving, don't say improving. Oh, still a lot of defilements are suffering. Yeah. Chinese temple is like that. Amitabha. Recording in Jialat. Yeah. Because why? Chinese ma must be humble ma. Yeah. Maybe overcome defilements. No. Still a lot of defilements. Then Sufu taught, still a lot of defilements. Oh, then go and do more of that practice. Then in the end, actually you can do the next step. You don't do the next step. Right? Because you never tell Sufu that you are done with this part. Or maybe you feel pressured. Everybody say that, oh, I can already observe the breath very clearly. Then maybe you also don't know how to observe the breath. Because why? You never do sitting also, you never do your practice. Yeah. So everybody say they can, you also say, ah, I can also, I can. You really can? Can. As clearly as touching the floor. How you feel the floor. Yeah, can. Oh, okay, then now you can do contemplation. Okay, can. Then in the end, when you do contemplation, your mind is all over the place. So must report accordingly. But this is just like going for interview, you know. Many times those who are doing interview, they have been around in the industry long enough. They just ask you a few key questions. They know whether you are bullshitting them. Yeah. So, So he is the type who can endure. So endure bodily feelings that are painful, fierce, sharp, racking, repellent, disagreeable, life-threatening. So sometimes when you learn Dharma, maybe you have to go through some discomfort. Yeah. Sifu asks you, come for retreat. Wow, come for retreat. Does it entail? Cannot take dinner. Wow, that's like wanting to kill me lah. Must maintain noble silence. Hello, so jialat. Why must I come for this retreat? I don't come for this retreat. In the office, I'm boss lah. I can talk when I want to talk. I want to do whatever I want to do. Eat whenever I want to eat. Why must I subject myself to this? How long? One whole day. And how? Or let's say Sifu say, let's have a 1 week retreat. Yeah, don't want, very difficult, don't want. Then, what happened? Is such a person easy to tend to? Not easy. Such a person is this type. Yeah. Such a person is hard to tend to. You can look at this sutta. This sutta is from Anguttara Nikaya, Book 5. This is not Anguttara. Yeah. This is from the Mahavagga. This is actually inside the Vinaya. But you can search online. This is from access2insight.org. So you can go and search for this, the monk with dysentery. Then you can take a look and you ask yourself, are you a patient who is easy to tend to? Are you a student who is easy to teach? Or are you not? This is just for your... When I go through this, I also ask myself, am I a good student? Am I fit to teach? So this is something for us to reflect. Yuan Xiao San Zhang Chu Fan Nao. Yuan
Xiao San Zhang Chu Fan Nao.
Yuan De Zi Hui Zhen Ming Liao.
Yuan De Zi Hui Zhen Ming Liao.
Pu Yuan Zui Zhang Xi Xiao Chu.
Pu Yuan Zui Zhang Xi Xiao Chu.
世世常行菩萨道
世世常行菩萨道
阿弥陀佛 Before you all rise, so I always like to teach people how to do things. Don't want to just do things for people. Not that I'm like the monk, don't want to do things for people, but I want to help you all to be independent. So when the output sometimes exceed, it's not an error. It is that the output can be changed. Yeah, this is called aspect ratio. Repeat after me. Aspect ratio. So usually in the controller, you look around for aspect ratio. Sometimes they put just the word aspect, sometimes they put A ratio. Yeah. Don't worry, free. You just press free. You don't have to pay money for it. And it's not tied to some nuclear power plant. You press, no matter how you press, it will not explode. Then you can try. So just now I press this, then don't expect that you press once it will change their options. After pressing it, then you choose. Then you see. So you see the number. The first number is the width. The second number is the height. So that is the ratio. Ratio means how much of the width to how much of the height. So the traditional ratio is 4:3. 4:3 is the standard ratio in the past for our computer monitor. Then with the newer screen, it is 16:9, 16:10. So if you can, you must learn the concept, don't memorize. Okay? Don't write it down, put it into one more SOP. Then suddenly SGC become very complicated, I want to teach you all to open up your mind. Because maybe at home you have been watching your white screen TV, like you buy already, then for many years you're wondering, how come I go to my friend's place? Can watch the movie big no? How come my place is only like that? You go back. As you come to attend my class, you learn all kinds of things. Okay, like Philip.